I'd like to call the 94th meeting of the Highlands Water Protection Planning Council to order. Call the roll, please, ma'am.
Kurt Olsen?
Here.
Tracy Calucio?
Here.
Rick Hager?
Here.
Michael Francis?
Here.
Robert Holtaway?
Here.
Dennis Kovac?
Yes.
Minnie Lutz? Carl Richco?
Here.
Glenn Petrano?
Yes, on the phone.
James Fizzioli?
On the phone.
Jack Schreier?
Present. Okay. Would you like to join me in the pledge of allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This meeting was voted under the Open Public Meetings Act, and written notice has been filed to newspapers circulation by the state posted on the Highlands Council website.
So, Mr. Chair, can I ask that so that the people on the phone can hear and people in the room because of the air conditioning, that we have to, I apologize, but I can see people are having difficulty hearing us.
Is anyone on the phone who cannot hear us?
That's a little difficult.
It's a little difficult.
A little difficult, okay. We'll try to speak up.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. We have minutes of our prior meeting of March 4th. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Glenn Petrano on the phone.
Thank you, Glenn.
You're always on the phone.
Tracy Calucci on the phone, too.
Thank you, Bill.
Tracy.
I have nothing special to report.
We do have, Mr. Chairman, the approval of the HTC bank minutes, and I wanted to go over that with members of the council. This is not similar to the action you just took on the April 15th meetings of minutes of the Highlands Council. The HTC bank is a creature of the council, and in the HTC bank laws, bylaws, it was written that the minutes from their meetings would go to the council, and if the council took no affirmative action, they would then be considered approved. And what this really amounts to is you have veto power over the Highlands Development Credit Bank. The request from the Governor's Authorities Unit is that the Highlands Council take affirmative action on the minutes of the HDC Bank Board. So you have in your packet, and it was supplied to you in advance, the minutes for that meeting. There are two sets, those that took place in the executive session and those that were public. And just to go over, and I have some slides here for the members of the public to follow as well, the actions of the HDC Bank Board at that meeting, because this allows you then to understand what it is you are considering. The Highlands Development Credit Bank met, and they reviewed the fact that there had been 18 allocation applications received. One application was for the planning area, so that's moot at this point in time because it is ineligible for consideration. Of the 17 applications for property in the preservation area, 10 applications sought to be reviewed under the hardship criteria because the first round for consideration was for a hardship. Four applications satisfied the hardship criteria, and one application satisfied the criteria for pursuant to the Highlands Act for just missing exemption number 3. Of the 11 applicants that received the allocation letter from the Highlands Council, 10 actually received an allocation of credits. The one that didn't is because it was subject to a prior deed restriction through a Highlands exemption from the Department of Environmental Protection, and that had already severed any development potential. In terms of the allocations themselves, now the allocations is just how many credits they would receive should they move through the Transfer Developer Rights Program. A total of 286 Highlands Development credits were allocated with a total value of $4.5 million. $1,000 approximately, based on the $16,000 initial Highlands development credit price. The total acreage receiving that allocation was 492.55 acres, and the average per acre price then was $9,290.43. Remembering that's the average price for the development rights, not for fee simple purchase. A total of 127 pre-Highlands Act residential development opportunities would be reduced if those allocations were actually used through the program, and 63,117 feet of pre-Act non-residential development. At the meeting on May 6th, the bank resolved to make offers to the four property owners that qualified for the hardship consideration and the one property owner that showed that they had just missed exemption number 3, again pursuant to the Highlands Act. The HDC minutes then for those actions are thus before you today, and your council action is required. Then there's a governor's review period. After that, then the staff can go ahead and make the offers to the different landowners. I'm showing you now on the screen the different municipalities where these applications are from. In municipalities of Liberty, Bethlehem, Washington in Morris, Jefferson, and again Washington in Morris. And you can see there the block and lots of these particular applications, the acreage of each, how many lost development opportunities, which is pre-Act, so it's according to pre-Act regulation and zoning. The allocated HDCs, because remember, you take the development opportunities that are lost, you apply the zoning and location factors, and that determines how many HDCs, how many credits, go to each property. The total value then of those credits, and the applicable easement that would be applied, whether it be an agricultural one or in some cases non-agricultural, whether or not there's an exemption being retired or maintained on the property. Some of these properties are, as you can see in the final column, some of them already have a single family home, therefore they may not have an exemption, others do not. So you see then the total of 220 acres, 0.89, the lost development opportunities pre-Act are 38, the allocated HDCs, in this case be 107.75 for a total value of $1,724,000. The HDC bank then authorized the staff to move forward per their resolution and send out offer letters. This, of course, has to wait until after you've taken your action and the governor's review period. The offer letter then would go out to those five applicants, listing municipality, block and lot, the number of HDCs to be purchased, the price per HDC, a statement that the offer had to be accepted within 30 days, an offer to pay the closing costs associated with the HDC transaction for those four hardship owners, up to a maximum of $2,500. All costs would be on a reimbursement basis upon presentation of the invoices, and an explanation of the documentation necessary to complete the transaction, including the deed of easement. All of these owners already know the HDC allocation for these properties, but these would then be the offer letters that would go out in order to move these towards closing, should the offer letter be accepted. The resolution then required that the staff send out those letters and complete the work necessary and assist the owners through the closing process. A second resolution was done by the HDC Bank Board that would have a second round of hardship considerations. So now that the news would go out, that would say that basically the program was starting and that there would be a second round then. Allocations would be accepted from anybody that wants to see how many credits their property might get under the program, and then those owners that show that they had the hardship, met the hardship criteria or missed exemption number 3, could continue on then to be considered for the second round application. Those were the actions taken by the HDC Bank Board at their meeting, and those are the minutes that are before you for your approval today.
Thank you. Effective everyone, may I have a motion?
I have a question. Do you want to give entertain the motion on the floor and have discussion.
I have a motion. I have a second.
Second.
Just to be clear on process, it's the council who had, the Highlands Council has the authority to determine hardship, and the council has delegated that authority to the staff, correct?
That is correct.
So, I believe I voted against that, and I would just reiterate that I think that somebody should, I think that we have the responsibility as a council to review these applications, because we may have a piece of information, be familiar with a piece of property that staff might not be. I will suggest that staff can't do a good job, but I think there's a reason why the legislation, the act, calls for the council to be involved, and I just want to reiterate that position, because we're not getting a chance to look at any of these applications. The TDR board is not getting a chance to look at these applications. Decisions have been made to reject certain ones and determine that they're not hardships. And perhaps one of us might suggest that there's a reason, that there's evidence that we're familiar with that would cause one to reconsider an application and consider it a hardship case. So I still remain troubled by this process. So just to be consistent, I felt I needed to go on there.
I have a question on the $9,290.43. That's the average price per acre.
That was the average price per acre for all the allocations that went out. Not for the, yes, that's correct, Michael. Not for the five.
What was the price on the specific one we were talking about?
If I go back here, you see the. You can see the acreage here and the total value. So in this case, the first one for 40.95 acres, the total value is $256,000.
So that's more like a little less than $7,000. So it's a lot different. The actual, what we actually did is different than the overall average.
Exactly, yeah. And of course, because it depends, in some cases, some of the lands are constrained. So it depends, as you can see, like in some cases, it's this. 8 development opportunities on 40 acres. In one case there's only one development opportunity on 51 acres. So it varies depending on the land and the conditions and the constraints.
Were you the dual standard on these?
TDR has always done it pre-Highlands Act zoning and regulations.
And so now the legislature is going to consider extending that to 2014?
Yeah, the dual appraisal process applies to Green Acres and to the SADC program, where you do one appraisal at the pre-Highlands Act regulation and zoning and one current. The TDR doesn't look at it in that perspective at all. It only looks at the pre-Highlands Act regulation and zoning. But yes, and I will give you an update on that, Mike, because you're asking about the legislative bill that's moving forward.
Well,
to extend
to in the actual aggregate of what we're doing, the actual activity of what we're doing, we do get questions from people that say, well, I'm thinking about going for this TDR thing, whatever that is, and they have no clue. You know, so if we start doing transactions that start establishing an average real value, that's important to know.
I think if you get questions about the TDR bank, you can refer those questions to staff. Do I need Swan?
I tell the fellow, eh?
Yeah, if I ever got a pretty job, you know.
If we delegate this authority to staff, then couldn't we get a report from staff of all the applicants and why some are deemed to be hardship and some weren't? Because we would be privy to the information if it wasn't delegated to the staff.
Yes, we did not send any of this out electronically or by hard mail because of our concern over the confidentiality. What we did for the Highlands Development Credit Bank, the directors, was during executive session, we shared information with them on the applicants that were moving forward, but we didn't. So if you want to come in, we'd be glad to go over that information with you and any member of the council. I would respectfully ask that we not send anything out because of our concern, and certainly some of the landowners expressed grave concerns about maintaining the confidentiality of their information. But absolutely no problem in sharing and letting you see the information.
And again, I just compare it to the process that goes on at the CADB, where where the board is privy to all applications, the staff makes recommendations in terms of whether they qualify and should and recommend that they proceed through preservation, or there may be applications that they suggest don't qualify, but they review why, and the board makes the final decision one way or the other. Staff provides recommendations, which is hard for me to not be involved in this.
I'd welcome you to come in, Kurt, because I'd like you to feel satisfied with the work that was done here. So welcome that opportunity.
Thank you. And then appeal process, if they determine that they did not qualify for a hardship and they feel that they do have a hardship case and they now appeal, to us or to the TDR bank?
First of all, we ask them to let us know if there's more information they want to provide, to bolster their case. We'd make that offer to them as well. But yes, they can appeal to you. They can also appeal the HDC allocation numbers to you as well.
And this would happen prior to the second round, so that they don't have to compete against another whole round? This time frame for appeal?
Those that did not make it through at this point in time was because of lack of information. And some submitted no information except to say hardship and didn't submit anything. So we had nothing to go on. The first round is now complete, but they can apply again in the second round. During that period of time, should they want to come before you, they may do so.
Could you go over for me what you consider to be confidential, why it's confidential?
The landowners that are asking to be considered under the hard financial hardship extenuating circumstances, they supply us with information pertaining to the value of the property, their particular circumstances that they ask to be considered as to why they're having extenuating financial circumstances. So they give us information about the value of their property, the value of the property that they're asking for HDCs on, in relation to their full value, their full net worth.
Is it personal information they give you?
Some of it absolutely is, very much so.
Property values you can look up online. That's not
very personal.
That's not confidential.
Very personal information.
What requirements of company?
Yeah. I always get very uncomfortable if government deals of confidential nature with actions.
Yeah.
I think that, is always best.
It's certainly nothing that is publicly available.
Editorialize for a moment. I think that it's important to clarify and emphasize that this process, along with the other processes that the council is doing,
can you hear me all right?
Louder?
Why don't you get me back up to the microphone?
Is that better? Okay, thank you. This process, along with the other processes that the council has been doing and will continue to do, is to make things easy for applicants, not to make it difficult for applicants. And I believe that needs to be stated again to many people who still are of the notion that we're here to block and prohibit and bar. We do that when it's necessary to do it, when it's required that we do it. But by and large, and the council knows, staff knows how I feel about this too, the idea is to make it as easy as possible for people to gain maximum benefit from the rules. Okay, thank you.
One final question, if I could, Jack. The deeds of easement, the easement restrictions, will apply to these people if they choose to accept the offers that are being given to them. So I know they came back from the AG's office, and do we now need to take final action on those? I know that they were distributed. I thought it was going to be on the agenda today.
No further action is required on those. And if you recall, what happened was there was at a prior meeting, it was discussed, and I believe at that time the chair said if a member believed it to be necessary, you could take an action. But at the time, a straw vote was taken, and members did not feel that way. But I did send it back out to everybody, and they have been. There were some minor amendments, and I believe I sent it so that you could see those amendments done by the Attorney General's office. So they've gone through six revisions between the Council and the HDC Bank Board, and then the final revisions by the Attorney General's office.
Tom, how would you characterize those changes that they made?
From the Attorney General's office?
Yes.
Very minor.
period.
Yeah, it was indeed very
less much. Less is more from me.
Well, it really was. They were non-substantive changes to the document.
So did they change it just for the sake of justifying their existence?
I wouldn't say that. But their input didn't change the substance of the document anyway.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any other members? Then we have a roll call vote.
Councilmember Halstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Coluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cocker?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Yes.
Councilmember Kovacs?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Pedrana?
Yes.
Councilmember Fizzioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes. Thank you all.
If they accept these offers, how long would you expect before you go to those if there's clean title?
We've asked them for 30 days to respond. We will ask them for 30 days to respond to the letter. We'll only get the letter out as soon as we get the veto period has expired with the governor, or they take an affirmative action to allow us to move forward. Truthfully, how long it takes, I mean, we'll operate as quickly as we can. I think the best case scenario would be a couple of months. That best case scenario. I mean, you know yourself in CADB work, sometimes there are difficulties.
And this will come out, this $1.7 million comes out of the $10 million that we have allocated.
That is correct. It comes out of $10
million. Great.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, I did want to let you know that two of the members that are on the phone had notified me. Ms. Fizzioli has another meeting that he has to attend, and Glenn Petrano also was working all night as a fireman, and so he had said that he would have to leave as well.
That's fine. Glenn, can you hear me?
Hello?
Glenn?
It's kind of hard to hear.
I just wanted to ask those members who are on the phone, when you get off the phone and leave the meeting, could you just make it known to us, please?
Sure.
Just for the record. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, I have next on the agenda, Executive Director's Report.
Yes.
That would be you, I think.
Thank you very much for that confirmation. I'm going to give you an update on plan performance process, where we are, a legislative update which goes to what Council Member Francis was referring to, and then we have a work session. We're going to look at some of the work that Council staff has been doing related to ongoing performance work with municipalities. So to bring you up to date on plan performance, initial assessment grants, two additional municipal initial assessment grants have been received and reviewed, so a total of 49 initial assessments have been done by municipalities looking at the implications of the Highlands Regional Master Plan for their own municipalities. In terms of the plan conformance petitions, to date 38 of the 54 submitted, and that's 54 that came with resolution. We had two other petitions that were just plan conformance documents. Those petitions have been deemed, those 38 have been deemed administratively complete, and they have been posted to our website. The draft consistency review and recommendations report by the council staff are being drafted for the first round of municipal petitions. Once those are completed, they are then sent to the municipality for review prior to council action. That gives the municipalities an opportunity to address issues or bring any further concerns to you when we bring those petitions before the council. In terms of the centre designation, you had looked at a proposal for Byram Township, and in response to your preliminary review of that centre designation proposal, numerous Highlands municipalities have contacted us and expressed an interest in being considered for a centre designation, so we wanted to let you know of that. We've been getting a lot of applications and submittals in terms of Module 3. Module 3 is the Fair Share Plan and the housing element. It was required that municipalities met a March 1st deadline to allow us to work with them on those applications to make sure they were consistent with the regional master plan, because they have a deadline of June 8th to submit those to the Council on Affordable Housing. So we want to let you know that we have reviewed those, and any ones that have not submitted draft plans have been urged to act quickly so that they can meet that deadline of June 8th. I know that we've also received phone calls from municipalities and their professionals because of concerns about future actions by the governor and this administration and the legislature in terms of what the affordable housing obligations are going to be for municipalities. The advice we are giving to municipalities is proceed under existing laws, because they need to protect themselves. They can, of course, submit documentation that would retain the right to amend their applications should anything change, should there be new legislation introduced. But it is important that they comply with the current laws so that they are protected. A legislative update. On May 5th, Governor Christie signed the Highlands TDR expansion bill, which amends Section 13 of the Highlands Act to allow for receiving areas for Highlands credits to be statewide. So that was an important legislative update for you, and it came the day before the Highlands Development Credit Bank meeting, so it was an auspicious occasion. The bill also amends a requirement that those municipalities outside the Highlands region, those that don't get planned performance, would, under the state TDR bill, have to go through the process of plan endorsement. Plan endorsement is a very lengthy process and very expensive. So we sought an amendment to the TDR expansion bill that would allow municipalities to look at the receiving areas, and if the State Planning Commission and the Highlands Council approved those receiving areas as having sufficient infrastructure and being appropriate to be a receiving area, they could move forward without going through the whole plan endorsement process. That amendment was part of the bill that was passed and then signed into law by Governor Christie. So that's good news on both fronts. Now, Council Member Michael Francis had brought up the issue of the dual appraisal. The dual appraisal method for properties going through preservation through both the Green Acres process and the farm preservation processes, that expired June 30th of 2009. Now, that's the process where appraisals are done at two points in time, one under the pre-Highlands Act zoning and regulations, and one under the current conditions. The negotiations to start at the higher of those two values. So that bill went before the Assembly and was voted out of the Assembly. So it's moving forward. We're very pleased to see that. It was released on May 13th. The bill's sponsors are John McKeon, Eric Peterson, who was a former Highlands Council member, and Gary Chisano, Alison Littell McCoes. So it's important that they're people from this region and they support passage of the dual appraisal bill. So it's out of that committee. Moving on to the Senate, I think it's today.
The Assembly today.
Hasn't
come out of the Senate committee yet.
Sorry, Assembly today hasn't come out of the Senate.
It's out of committee now, it goes to the full Senate.
It's the full Senate is actually voting today on this.
Yes.
Thank you.
In an interesting sense, that would make the Highlands property, pre-Highlands valuation, to be above the value for all Highlands property above the current rates by 20 to 25%.
Yep. That's why it's very important.
Okay. Now I'd like to move on to the work session.
Quick question. Perhaps I misread. The executive order that was signed by Governor Corzine, and he approved our minutes, which approved the act.
EO 114.
Did Governor Christie rescind that executive order? Or is there just discussion of that potentially happening, but it hasn't yet?
Actually, I believe that the report that came out said it was moot, I think.
But no action has been taken. That the governor has not rescinded that executive order. There was discussion about how portions of it are moot, and that it may be rescinded, but no action has been taken.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, now to move on to the work session, we're going to discuss two things here. We're going to discuss Highlands Ordinance Mapping, which is a series of maps that the staff have prepared for municipalities to adopt as part of their conforming Highlands Ordinance. And secondly, we're going to talk about the Interim Wastewater Management Plan Mapping. Again, a service we're providing to municipalities that are conforming to the Highlands Regional Master Plan. The ordinance mapping we want to discuss with you is the fact that our mapping has been done at a regional scale. It is necessary for us to assist municipalities when they're looking at conformance and adopting the ordinance to then prepare the maps at a municipal scale so that basically the ordinance is implementable. This would provide cost savings to Highlands municipalities because it's been done by your staff. It also, frankly, assists us in making sure that our grant dollars go further as well. So that would assist municipalities in spending the money that's available to them through your grant program on other issues. So our staff then undertook this work. And the GIS mapping, thus, that you've seen at a regional scale has been further refined then for the use of the ordinance at a local scale. Municipalities will use those maps that are relevant, and the various ordinance maps that we have provided are the following. Highlands zones and subzones, those are where we divide into the three primary zones, protection zone, conservation zone and existing community zone, and the constrained subzones. Forest resource area mapping, total forest area mapping, forest subwatershed integrity areas, Highlands open waters, watershed resource value areas, lake management areas, riparian areas, riparian subwatershed integrity areas, steep slope protection areas, critical wildlife habitats, significant natural areas, vernal pools, carbonate rock area, prime groundwater recharge areas, wellhead protection areas, Highlands special environmental zones, agricultural resource areas, Highlands historic, cultural and archaeological resources, Highlands scenic resources, net water availability at a HUP 14 subwatershed level, Highlands domestic sewage facilities, and public community water systems. All those maps have been provided, and those maps then have been further consolidated into 10 ordinance maps that link together similar issues on single maps. We're going to show you some of these now. Here, for example, is the Township of Byrum, and this map shows you the Highlands zones and subzones. So these are the kind of maps we'll be providing to municipalities through the conformance mapping. The second one is the Township of Marwa, in the Highlands area. This shows forest resource areas, total forest area, and forest subwatershed integrity areas. So again, that's where we've then shown three different things that are related on one map to make those 10 maps. Oh, these don't correspond with the maps in your packet. What we've done is we've mixed them up here a little. So on the slide, the ones in your packet you're looking at are Byron. Thank you, Tom. This next one is the Borough of Hopatcong. This shows Highlands open waters, the watershed resource value areas, and lake management areas. The next one, Township of Chester, showing riparian areas, riparian subwatershed integrity areas. The Township of Union, steep slope protection area. This has been updated using LIDAR information, which has greatly improved on the accuracy of the mapping. If you recall, you had LIDAR mapping done. Of course, I don't have the amount of the improvement that is. Can you remember off the top of your head, Roger, the improvement that this has given us for the steep slopes?
The cell size, the square footage of the cell size that we use for original, the slopes that we first mapped, are a little over 9,000 square feet in size, and the cell size is 20 by square feet. So it's a huge improvement to the precision of the data when we're using the cells.
So So Roger and his team have, they, you know, obviously doing our GIS work, they have done it, that level of analysis on the steep slopes using the LiDAR.
Sounds like facial recognition.
But the town will obviously have an opportunity to discuss the options.
Absolutely. And that's part of, you know, we want to give these out as part of that municipal response period. Although they've seen all of these maps through the ERI and through the work, and so some revisions have already been done. Again, that's part of the regional master plan update and adjustment process for further refinement that we're going through.
But these will, in fact, become the maps for the town. So
absolutely.
Maybe by ordinance, and these will be the maps. So.
Right.
The big distinction is the parcels are now on all the maps. And so while they may have seen it as applied to the town, the overlay of the parcels becomes crucial.
And that's why you'll see further on the kind of refinements we've done at a block and lot level. So that becomes very critical. This is the township of Randolph. This shows you critical wildlife habitat, significant natural areas, and vernal pools. Some vernal pools here. And it's always DEP certified vernal pools. Borough of Hampton, carbonate rock area. It's shown here. Prime groundwater recharge areas and the wellhead protection areas. Township of Bethlehem, special environmental zones and agricultural resource areas. The borough of Glengardner, this one shows you the historic, cultural and archaeological resources. Township of Byram, net water availability by HUC 14 subwatershed. These numbers here, difficult to read at this scale, but these are the numbers for the subwatersheds. And this also shows Highlands domestic sewage facilities and public community water systems. Now getting to the further refinement that I was speaking of with the land use capability map. In response to municipal suggestions, as you know, we had many informational sessions working with municipalities, with their professionals and elected officials. They had requested this, and so we're now responding. They asked for enhanced land use capability maps, which would streamline municipal and Highlands conformance review and add clarity for individual property owners when applying the land use capability zone policies. So we wanted to get this to a block and lot scale. At a municipal scale, the land use capability zone map will use tax parcel lines and use existing dominant land use capability zones. Many of the smaller individual tax parcels will have one zone per tax parcel. For tax parcels over 5 acres, multiple zones may still be appropriate as significant resources need to be considered. Thus, these tax parcels maintain their existing land use capability zone designations. What's critical to understand here is you don't lose any of the protections. All the mapping that I showed you is already shared with the municipalities. This is just looking at the zones. So I'll show you what we mean in a few moments. The process allows municipalities to refine the mapping provided by the council by tax parcel to be more consistent with existing land uses. The maps would be approved by the Highlands Council through the formal plan conformance approval process, where the council approves municipal plan conformance by resolution. The mapping and subsequent consideration of individual environmental resources are in no way lost or changed as a result of this process. Highlands open water areas, for example, forest resource areas, etc., and their appropriate policies are still applicable. So this is the map to show you what the kind of thing we're talking about. When we did our mapping at a regional scale, it was, pursuant to the Highlands Act, done, it was resource-based mapping. So you can see here the effect of, this would be the protection zone, existing community zone, conservation zone, and you can see the sort of step effect here, and how difficult this might be to deal with at a block and lot level. So what we did is we applied rules, and you see the smoothing out of those lines so that these become easier to apply the zones to at a municipal level, looking at the ordinance work. We also looked at the underlying constrained subzones. So here you can see this would be an existing community constrained subzone. This dark brown is the conservation zone and environmentally constrained subzone. And you can see again that sort of the effect on the edges, and you can see it here bleeding into a zone here, into a parcel. Again, applying the smoothing here just to make it easier to use at a local level. And that's the final step then on the subzone. So this is being done. What we've done to date is looked at Hunterdon County and done a pilot project across Hunterdon County to do this kind of mapping to make the ordinance implementable at a local scale. I don't know, Chair, if there's any questions on that mapping before I get into interim wastewater management planning. I can give you the sort of statistics about, for Hunterdon County, about how much change there was, if you'd like it.
Why don't you do that?
Okay, Jack. For the existing community, sorry, this is across the entire Hunterdon County. For the existing community zone, the percent change when you did that smoothing was 2.78% for the entire county of Hunterdon. And that was minus 2.78%. In terms of the conservation zone, minus 0.99%. For the protection zone, plus 1.64% change. And for the wildlife management area subzone, this was just snapping it to the parcels, and those zones are parcel-based, so it was just getting it to be more accurate. It's a minus 0.37%. So it's a very minimal change across the county, but for implementation at a municipal level, this was a critical piece of work to be done.
And so what's the assurance that the lot lines are accurate to date?
Well, we worked with the municipalities through the whole build-out process, looking at those block and lots, and several changes were made. Yes, and several changes were made in that process. Now, sometimes we're still playing catch-up on subdivisions that have occurred, and some of that's through
our... That's why, because there's a lot of activity that doesn't necessarily show. If you go into the tax office, the assessor's office, and look at the big book, they're not always accurate because it's not the current big book.
Right, and that's why when we went through the build-out process, we gave the municipalities every single block and lot. We gave them spatial files as well, and many updates have been done since then. And currently, we still have an update process, so when things occur, we have to constantly update our maps. There's also the adjustment process, but that has to be approved by the Highlands Council.
So if there's a change, that correction on the line is initiated by the municipality to you, through the Highlands?
Through the process of build out, we did much of it, and into the future what we're doing is we're designing a web-based interface where municipalities will be able to constantly give us updates, because the information will change to perhaps preserved pieces if they go through preservation. If land is being developed, we'll take that information into account as well and constantly update. If there are any subdivisions, equally they will be
that line adjustment.
Yeah, yes.
Some of the audience members are saying that it's difficult to hear. Maybe we could just be closer to the microphones.
Interim wastewater management planning. Interim wastewater management plans are encouraged by DEP for municipalities pursuing plan conformance for the area that's covered by a notice of intent where the notice addresses the full municipality. As you know, many of the counties are doing this work, working with New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. In the Highlands region, some of the counties are actually not doing the work. Either way, as we work with municipalities through the plan conformance process, DEP, we work with DEP, and we had agreed that we would do the interim mapping for those municipalities. So we've worked with the department to make sure that we do it according to their protocols and to their satisfaction. The purpose of the interim wastewater management planning is to remove future sewer service areas that are inconsistent with the land use capability zone map designations and policies of the regional master plan. while the plan conformance process is being completed. So sort of to safeguard during this interim period, to safeguard those, make sure that those policies are in place. Interim wastewater management plans will be replaced by final WIMPs that will result from the plan conformance process and be adopted into the county wastewater management plans by the municipality where those county WIMPs are developed, or as standalone documents where the counties are not developing those plans. Working with the DP, we developed a template for interim wastewater management planning maps using Clinton Township as a pilot. Wastewater mapping has been prepared identifying existing sewer service area, future sewer service area, and potential future sewer service area. The interim WIMP planning maps will be coordinated with NJDEP and the appropriate municipalities and counties as they become available. The interim WIMP also includes extensive narrative using the results of the Highlands Municipal build-out reports. So what we wanted to show you here is, this is Clinton Township, and this is just to show you an example of the work that's been done here by the staff, really with Dan and his group and Roger and the GIS group. This map here shows you existing sewer service area. You can see the legend here. This is Clinton Township. Future sewer service area. Potential future sewer service area. And that, then there's the narrative that I described as well that also goes along with these plans. Larry Beyer, who's in charge of this process at NJDEP, has approved this this pilot one, and thus we'll be moving ahead and have already started the work to do this with other municipalities going through the plan performance process. So that concludes the report, Chair.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you. This is an opportunity to hear from the public. We're going to move into the public comment period.
Can I ask a quick question before we hear public? Less than 3 minutes. Anything from DEP yet on the exemptions?
Unfortunately, we do not have any update for you today.
We need to call them up.
We actually were scheduled to have a meeting that got canceled, unfortunately.
And have you, Eileen, or anybody been tapped to be part of the stakeholder meetings with the commissioner?
Yes, I've been told that I will be invited to all three stakeholder meetings. One was scheduled but has since been canceled, so I have no dates. But I will be attending all of them, and I would anticipate, Kurt, that the question you're asking and many others will probably be resolved at the end of those stakeholder meetings. I think that's when issues like that will be brought to the attention of the administration.
Do we know somebody from the Department of Ag asked?
We actually have a meeting today.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, open to the public. Please come. State your name just for the record.
My name is Wayne Naidu. I am a resident of Independence Township. It is my understanding from attendance to the Independence Township committee meetings and land use board meetings that they are refusing to accept the Highlands Preservation Area requirements. They cannot come to grips with putting in writing to the Highlands Council that they will comply with the law as it applies to the preservation area. They are also adamant about not opting into the planning. Despite our pleas to reconsider, the Mayor of Independence Township appears to be determined to take an adversarial stance to the Highlands Act at a cost to the taxpayers. At the same time, our township is negotiating with the Highlands Council to place Block 8, Lot 21 and 22.04, known as Liberty Square Development, which is located in the preservation area, into a redevelopment area, therefore eligible for a waiver or exemption from the law. This would allow them to build. I would plead with you to be cautious. look carefully at their maps and plans. The property has karst geology and has a sinkhole that is located within the wellhead protection area of the Hackettstown Hackettstown Municipal Well. Our township will go to any length to allow this developer to build. The township has shown little interest in the past in adhering to its own zoning standards, granting at least 7 variances and issuing building permits for a project with no stormwater plan or final site plan approval. They show even less interest in environmental concerns for protection of water resources. I fear that that these components and stormwater requirements will be compromised if this is permitted. Please do not allow them to develop this environmentally sensitive site. Please be very, very vigilant in your decisions on this property. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I am curious to know how many towns are interested in having a Highlands Center, being designated a Highlands Center. I recognize the number was numerous, but I'm just curious to know what numerous is. Is it 5 or is it 15?
It's probably more than 2.
Wouldn't that be a few?
Fewer than 100.
At this point, we've had much expression of interest, and to say how many will actually go through the process, I don't know.
I would
say it's probably around 6 or 7 towns at this stage.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. And the other thing I wanted to say is, you guys don't pat yourselves on the back enough. The mapping you have done is absolutely phenomenal.
I think Roger claps himself on the back. Well, sorry.
It is phenomenal, and you should be touting the benefits to conforming municipalities being able to have access to this mapping for municipal planning and for municipal decisions. It's absolutely extraordinary, and nobody else anywhere in the state has anything like this. And you really should congratulate yourselves. It's remarkable.
Thank you. It's unseemly for us to congratulate ourselves. However, we accept your compliments.
Well, there you go. I'll tout it.
Hello?
Still here.
Oh, David Shope.
Wait, start for a minute.
David Shope, I have a farm in Lebanon Township.
David, would you mind just sitting closer to the microphone? It's members of the audience.
I'll bite it if I get any closer. The land use capability map that was demonstrated today, I noticed, did not demonstrate on one particular town the cumulative effect of all the different layers. I don't know if this was designed by design or accident, but a demonstration showing the cumulative effect on a town or several towns, preferably, to demonstrate the total impact of all of these zones would be more illustrative than what was done today. So I'd like to see that. On the deed of easement, I have copies of them here, and nowhere is there a date indicating when there was an action of an agency to approve them. When were they approved and by what agency? Does anyone know? You answered the question just before. Let's answer this one. Either you know or you don't.
I don't know offhand, Mr. Shope, but I can talk to staff and see if we can find out.
Great. Thank you very much. And all these wonderful maps that show this thing and that zone and this, you know, this for the Tweety Birds and so forth, you're mapping it as if it were a park. It is not a park. It is privately owned land, and with every layer goes the potential use of this property to the owner. That is a fact that seems to be lost on you. So let me bring it to your attention again. For those of you who are concerned about karst, There was a sinkhole that recently developed in Trenton. What are you going to do about it? And I'm also going to comment about how comments that I make, and I'll just talk about the comments that I make, are reported in your minutes. You may think that it's cutesy reporting. You may think that you're being really clever. I think you're being dishonest and despicable. And despicable, if anyone wants me to spell it for them, I will. But I would like to see that word included in my comments in the next meeting. Thank you.
Chris, you still there? Tracy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I just have a couple questions about the mapping. It was a very long list, so I may have missed something, but I was wondering where the rare plants areas are on the mapping spectrum.
Significant natural areas.
They're in the natural areas.
Significant.
Also, is there mapping of the preserved lands?
Do you want me to answer, Chair? I always was. Do you want me to answer the question?
If you have the information, by all means, speak up.
All that mapping is provided. These maps are specific to ordinances, but we do have mapping of preserved lands as well. And the PowerPoint will be on our website today or tomorrow.
So the ERI mapping has preserved lands.
Okay. All right. And the scenic resource?
That was one of these as well. It was one of the combination maps.
Okay. And right now that consists of the public lands, right? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Seeing no one, close the public comment portion. We have no need for an executive session. So I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Aye.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
At our turn.
Thank you.
All the
I'm going to go to the